Good morning and welcome to Christ is the Answer, coming to you from Seaview Full Gospel Church in Back Bay, New Brunswick. Today, our pastor, Pastor Randy Crozier, will be preaching today's message. If you'd like a copy of today's message or any other message, you can contact us at the church office at area code 506-755-3592. Now, here's Pastor Randy Crozier with today's message.
Heavenly Father, you are infinite. You are more. If you could gather together all the most eloquent people in the world, and they were to apply themselves, everything they had, to trying to describe your greatness and your goodness, Lord, we'd fail miserably. We'd fail because you're just beyond what we can tell. And Lord, this morning we're asking, Lord, that you would be here, we would continue to be here in our midst, and that you, by your Holy Spirit and through the work of your word, would challenge us so that we would grow in grace, Lord, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, that, Lord, we would be further conformed to your image so that in the world we can be impactful. So that in the world we can be the salt and we can be the light that you call us to be. And Father, our influence becomes, Lord, your hands and your feet through us reaching out to the lives of others. We ask, Lord, these things, and we ask, Lord, your blessing, Lord, on all that's about to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I'm going to hit you with a Bible quiz, all right? And first of all, I'm going to give you three Bible verses, and I'd like someone to tell me who wrote each one. All right, so this is a literal interaction, right? So, now, they're not difficult, and I'll give you lots of hints. I'm pretty sure no one's going to need a hint. So, number one, here's the first one. Do not worry about your life, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Who said that? Exactly, Jesus. All right, number two. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Number two, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Who wrote that? I'll give you a hint. The author, it comes from the book of Philippians. So whoever wrote Philippians wrote that. Paul wrote that. So, don't be anxious. So, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And then number three, I want you to be without care. Very short one. I want you to be without care. And so, anybody know who wrote that? I'll tell you, it comes from Corinthians. First letter to the Corinthians. So, who wrote Corinthians? Paul. So, you've got Jesus saying, you know, don't worry about your life. You have Paul saying, don't be anxious about anything. And then later he says, I don't want you to be with care. I want you to be without care. So, three statements. Don't worry about your life. Don't be anxious about anything. And I want you to be without care. Now, I have one last question for you. And this is for everybody. And so here it is. Who here is or has been a worrier? Now, I want you to raise your hands, but before you do, I want you to think about this. All right? If you're sitting there, having heard the question, and you're wondering, you know, should I raise my hand? Because maybe I'll be the only person raising my hand, or I'll be among the few that raise my hand. If that were to happen, then I'll tell you what, the truth is you're either the most honest or most courageous person in the place, right? Because we all know that one of the most common emotional and spiritual maladies that afflicts Canadians or Americans, North Americans in general, is this, we're plagued with anxiety. We worry about all kinds of things. So, now, who here is a worrier or has been a worrier? Raise your hand. Oh, look, we're getting honest with ourselves, right? So that's a really positive step. You know, in order to make spiritual progress or to go forward in Christ in almost anything, you have to be A, honest with God, and B, honest with yourself. Actually, you have to be honest with yourself before you get honest with God. You know? And so, let me see you again if you're a warrior. You know, you've been a... Now, I'm not... Understand, let me qualify, because I don't mean common concern. Like, you get up in the morning and you're interested in what your day is going to look like and you make a plan. You know? That's not the issue. When the Bible talks about worry as something that afflicts us, it's talking about a nagging anxiety that begins to plague us. It begins to work so that we're paralyzed in some measure by it. We're debilitated by it. And so, you know, there are people, now maybe you're not that bad, but you think, well, I'd take my hand back now if I could, but I guarantee you, there are a lot of people in this room who are afflicted by debilitating worry. They are they struggle with profound anxiety. So, we've been real, and later on I want you to remember that you already confessed it, all right? You've already confessed it, so, and I remember every one of you. No, I don't really, but. All right, so, worry is not good. Worry's bad, right? I mean, it's pretty well established. We've got three. The Bible says, let anything be established in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Well, I've given you three scriptures that condemn worry. And so, worry is clearly a bad thing. God clearly does not want worry to be a dominating or influential factor in the lives of his children. That being said, then every one of us should aspire to see worry and anxiety of that kind evicted from our lives. Something that's moved out of our lives for our own good and for the glory of God, to see those things moved along. And, you know, the thing is, there have been studies. Let me just throw something. This is not scripture, but it's a bit of useful and informative, little good information. There have been studies done that have determined that more than 90% of the things that we worry about throughout the length of our lives never happen. More than 90% of the things that we become anxious or fretful about in life just never take place. Do you know what that makes worry? A colossal waste of emotional capital and spiritual energy. Just think about it. 90%. You know, just reflect back on how much worrying you've done in life and then think about how many of the things that you were anxious about actually came to pass. 90% of them, if you're average, never happened. And that means that all of that emotional energy was a colossal waste of time. And do you know that Jesus knew that that was the case? He posed this rhetorical question in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. He said, which of you, by taking thought, and in the context, if you read the wider context, in this context, taking thought means worry. So which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So let's just, you know, flip it around and put it in more contemporary English. So Jesus is asking this. He's saying, is there anyone here who has ever made himself even marginally bigger than his problem by worrying? And the answer to the rhetorical question is no. Is there one person in this room who, through all their worrying and all the angst that they've experienced and all the has ever found that the worrying itself made you even slightly larger than the problem that you're up against? Jesus knew that the answer was no. You know, so what he's telling us is that worry is a waste of energy. It's a waste of spiritual capital in our lives. Now, but let's be honest, right? That's all true. Bible supports it. Jesus supports it. But the real truth is, paralleled with that, is that worry is a real bear to wrestle to the ground. I mean, how many people have been in the middle of a situation and said, I'm just not going to worry? Has it worked for you? Just to say it? Very rarely do you ever find yourself in the grip of a real mess and full of anxiety and worry and just be able to say, oh, well, you know, I'm just not going to worry about that. You know, we wish that it was that simple, but typically it's not. Worry, anxiety, distress, these are real bears for us to wrestle to the ground in our lives. So what do you do? How do you deal with worry? And so the beginning of the answer, it starts out in John chapter 8 and verse 32. And Jesus says this, you will know the truth. Everybody know the rest of it? Yeah. you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what I want to do this morning is I want to remind you of four biblical truisms that will help you in your struggle with worry. Four things that you need to pull to the front of your mind or allow to surface in your heart if you're really going to begin to get a handle on anxiety, which debilitates you and paralyzes you, and ultimately it prevents you from being as effective in the kingdom of God and as effective a witness for Jesus Christ as you might want to be. Four things that we need to pull to the forefront of our thinking and allow to surface in our hearts if we're going to get ourselves out of the swamp of anxiety and worry. Number one, the first truism, the first truth that you need to hold on to if you're going to find yourself liberated from worry is this: God is omnipotent. God's all powerful. It's imperative that we are conscious that we live with that perpetual awareness of who it is we are dealing with, who it is that's got your back, who it is that supports you, whose everlasting arms are beneath you. This is an omnipotent God. Now, there are lots of things. Lots and lots of things that you can't handle. A worry problem might be one of them. But there's nothing that God can't handle. The list of things impossible for a human being is endless. The list of things are impossible for God, there's nothing on the paper. There's nothing on the list. Jesus in Matthew 19, 26 says, it says them, Jesus looked at them, he's looking at the disciples, and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And you know, just a little bit of background in order to maybe put a little more meat on the bone of the statement is that Jesus says he looked at them, he looks at the disciples, and the reason he makes the statement is because he had said something that in the context of Jewish theology at that point in time, he had said something truly astonishing. And they were incredulous. They couldn't believe what he said. And so they asked the question, how? How could it be? And Christ's answer is, well, you know, for you, all kinds of things are impossible. So if we were talking about a man doing this thing, then you'd have every right to be, you know, worried. But God is going to do it. And God can do astonishing things. God can do things that we look at, and under normal circumstances, we say, well, that's just never going to take place. That body's always going to be sick. That person's always going to be bound. And you're always going to be worrying. It's not true. Why isn't it true? Because God is omnipotent. And so that mountain of anxiety that stands before you and you wonder how you're ever going to scale it, to God is a bump. Well, it's not even a bump. To you, it looks like a mountain. Threatening, ominous. But to God, it's not even a bump. Because God is absolutely omnipotent. The second truth that you need to keep in mind is that, and this is magnificent, really, when you start thinking about it. It's so many simple, commonplace truths, when you sit down and you begin to reflect on them, really can grab your heart and begin to change your life. So, number one, God is omnipotent. The second truth from the Bible that you need to keep at the forefront of your mind if you're going to cope with anxiety and worry and the distress of life is this: God is interested in you. And that should blow your mind. It did David's. In the Psalms, Psalm 4, verse 6, this is what David said: what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou considerest him? You see, David knew that God was mindful of human beings, and he knew that God did care for human beings. But what he's saying in that verse, or what he's inferring in the verse, is that when he looks at who he is as a human being and who God is as God, it just blows his mind that God would have anything to do with us. The first thing you need to remember: God is omnipotent. He can do anything. The second thing you need to remember is that omnipotent God cares about you. That you are on his mind. That you are in his focus. And you know, Zechariah said that we're the apple of his eye. You know, Christians in the first century, went through a lot of stuff. You know, getting this thing on the road, this Christianity thing, was no cakewalk. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of stress and a lot of rejection. A whole lot of bad things came their way. And when Peter is writing to those believers over whom he had spiritual influence and guidance, this is what he says to them. Cast all your care, worry. Cast all your care upon him, upon God, for he cares for you. So Peter's advice is, when you're afflicted with care, and when you're afflicted with worry, drop it all on God. Why? Because God cares about you. Because God cares. His heart is towards you. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." So there's an image of God, you know, looking, because not only is God omnipotent, he's omniscient, so he knows all things. So there's an omniscient God looking throughout the world, constantly looking for an opportunity to step in to the situations in which his people find themselves and to do something. You don't need to worry, because the God you serve is A, omnipotent, and B, he is profoundly, remarkably, and indeed inexplicably interested in you. Now that should light your fire. That should really warm your heart. And Matthew 6:25-26, and I read the first part early on, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." He takes care of them. And then this is the real kicker, this last statement. "Are you not much more valuable than they?" You are valuable to God. It's our intrinsic worth is zip. Any doctor will tell you, boil us down and we're worth, you know, less than probably $3. Our intrinsic worth is zero. And the truth is, when you consider that we're fallen creatures, even our, you know, spiritual worth is questionable. But you're valuable to God. Amazing. You're valuable to God. You are more precious to him than anything else in his creation. That's the inference of that passage. So, number one, God is interested in you. Number one, God is omnipotent. Number two, the omnipotent God is interested in you. And then number three, God's listening. God is listening. You know, the Bible, and this is actually a fundamental doctrine that we are all conscious of, but too little emphasis is placed on it, really. God's your Father. That's one of the significant things that Jesus, you know, recasts when it comes to the general theology, is he establishes firmly the image of God as Father. And as Father, you know, he's not, an inattentive parent. He's not a negligent parent. He is the ultimate parent, who is always attentive to the needs of his children, always aware of what's going on in our lives. And God, unlike, you know, I'm a father, and sometimes I don't listen. It's kind of like, you know, it's my confession. I don't know, maybe some of you would make the same confession that, you know, during the course of your years raising children that you didn't always listen. Your complaint might have been that they didn't listen to you. But the truth is, sometimes we don't listen as parents. God's never guilty of that. God's always listening. He's always hearing what's going forth from our hearts. You know, recall Philippians 4:6. I read the first part of that verse as well. And it's one of those three statements that we started with. You know, do not be anxious about anything. So let me read the rest of it, you know, because it's really critical that you get. Paul says, don't be anxious for anything, but as an alternative to worry, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And if you do that, if you pray instead of worry, if you talk to God who listens instead of worry, then the promise is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Praying, talking to God who listens. With these three truths in mind, that God is omnipotent, that he is interested, he cares about you, and that he's listening, is the key to what Paul says will bring a switch from worry and anxiety to peace. And not just any peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. Not just any garden variety of quiet or calm, but peace that will guard your hearts and minds. It will fortify your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, there's a beautiful Jewish saying, and it's both a prayer and an affirmation of confidence. And it says this, from your lips to God's ears. I love that saying. From your lips to God's ears. Like, you know, you ever get the impression the way that people talk? It's like you really got to do something to catch God's attention. Like, you know, jump up and down, you know, or, you know, go through gyrations, shake yourself. I don't know. You know, you do. And it isn't that way. And the other thing is, sometimes we talk as if you really got to talk God into things. God's always listening. You don't have to labor to get his attention. God hears what's going on in our lives. So, number one, God is omnipotent. Number two, God cares about you. Number three, God is listening. And number four, God will respond. Another important truth that you need to hold at the front of your minds in order to deal with anxiety and distress. God will respond. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 6 says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. Not might, but will lift up. When the enemy comes in like a flood. So, you know, you're worrying and you're being bombarded and you know, plagued with anxiety and you're hammered with concerns. And God is omnipotent. He is able. He's able to deal with whatever you're worrying about. He's able to deal with your worry itself. And God cares. You're the apple of his eye. It's astounding. It's remarkable. What is man that he's mindful of him? And the Son of Man that God would even consider? But he does. He's omnipotent. He cares. He hears. He's listening. And he will respond. He will raise up a standard in the time of need. You know, Romans 8, 31 through 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is omnipotent and capable of doing that, so he cares. How will he not give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised from life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. We have a sweet deal. We have a sweet, sweet deal. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The inferred answer is no. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons or any other power will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He is omnipotent. He cares. He hears. And he will respond. And if we bring those four truths to the forefront of our mind, so, you know, when the heat is on and the worry is mounting and it's starting to percolate all that anxiety, remember, he is omnipotent. He cares about you personally. He hears you. He is listening. And he will respond. He will respond. I want to tell you what happened to me, right? So I came here. Well, I, you know, we were away, and we got home, and we'd only been home for a few hours, and we realized that Joyce was not well. So we jumped back, took the bags that we'd emptied the night before, threw stuff back in them. We came here, and we were here for that time. We left, went back, because our, you know, we had things that had to be done. We couldn't just stay here. So we'd go home, and I get home, and I got sick. I think I told you I got sick, right? So I couldn't even read. I just couldn't concentrate to read or think or do anything. And so I was, I thought, well, Lord, you got to say something. Tell me what I'm going to preach. And I don't know, maybe I was just too focused on my own sickness to hear, but I didn't hear anything. So I said, well, God, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. So I picked. This is what I'm going to preach. And I was, you know, already largely prepared, you know. And yesterday we got to Judy and Peter's, and we're sitting at supper around 7:30. I get up from the table and I say, well, listen, I'm sorry to be rude, but I got to go downstairs. I got to kind of refocus on this message. And I go downstairs and I sit in the chair, and the Lord said, you know what? That's not the way you're going to go. That's not where you're going to go. And he laid on my heart. You know, I didn't hear a big booming voice from heaven, but, you know, he laid on my heart to preach this message this morning about worry. So, right? And I'm a pretty kind of linear thinker. So I figure that if the Lord laid on my heart to say something this morning about worry, that there's someone, or there are more than one someone here this morning, and you got an issue with worry. It's really hampering you, holding you back. It's preventing you from having kind of being well in yourself, and it's preventing you from glorifying God. It might even be influencing you to wonder, where is God? So this morning, I'd like to pray for you. So now, remember I told you, you already confessed? Right? You already confessed. So having confessed, you know, I'm challenging you this morning, if you would be willing to let me and the elders, the deacons, pray for you this morning. So would you come? Is there anybody here this morning? And you're just anxiety, worry, you know, it's just, you're in the grip of it, and it's pushing on you and pressing on you. I'd like a chance to pray with you this morning. And what I'm going to pray, you know, so that you know, is just, I'm going to pray that those things, those truths that I mentioned to you, that God is absolutely omnipotent. He is able. And that, you know, He cares. You're the apple of His eye. It doesn't matter how you think about yourself or what other people may have said about you. You are, on the authority of God's word, the apple of His eye. He is listening. So this morning, as I pray for you, you need to pray for yourself. Cry out to God. He is listening. And then, know this, He will respond. He's going to raise up. So we're just going to go along this morning and pray for you as they sing. Praise God.
My God can do
Thank you, Pastor Crozier. We hope that you enjoyed today's radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, please contact us at the church office at 506-755-3592 or in writing at 195 Back Bay Loop Road in Back Bay, New Brunswick, E5C2W3. Or you can visit us on our website at www.cviewfullgospel.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, Seaview Full Gospel Church. Till next week, God bless, and remember, Christ is the answer.